Good morning. Over the past several weeks, we have been looking at different examples in the Hebrew Bible or in the Old Testament as faithful disciples, and asking what characteristics do they have that we can glean and learn from as we think about our own pathway of discipleship. And so we looked at the book of Ruth several weeks ago, and how we are called to love God and our neighbor. And then we talked about trust. And then last week, we talked about faith. And all of these are things that we are supposed to do or supposed to have in order to be a disciple. First, we begin with love. Without loving God and loving neighbor, our pathway of discipleship will be challenging and difficult and probably not very fruitful, right? We also have to trust in what God is doing and where God is leading us, because sometimes that pathway is dark and we don't always know where we're going. We also have to have faith in who God is, knowing that God is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and God is right there with us on this journey. Today, we stay in the Hebrew Bible. We're going to be looking at the book of 1 Samuel, and we're going to be looking at Hannah's story. She's one of the first characters that we're introduced to in the book of Samuel. But before we do that, one of the great things about Hannah's story is her example of joy. So often when we think about discipleship, we think about the work that we're supposed to do, right? Where we're supposed to go, who we're supposed to talk to, what we're supposed to do. But we don't often talk about how we're supposed to feel, what we're supposed to embody, and how we're supposed to live that out. And over and over and over again, we hear examples in the biblical text of God's faithful disciples rejoicing. Discipleship is hard. Sometimes it's lonely. Sometimes we don't get the results that we seek, right? But there's always moments to rejoice, to give God thanks for what God is doing. And often I think we forget this as Christians. We go throughout our daily lives, and when something gets hard, we call up the pastor, right? And we say, hey, can you add me to the prayer list? Or we share something on social media, or we come to church and we lift up a prayer request and we ask for God's provision in the time of difficulty or struggle. And I'm guilty of this too, right? This is the same thing that I do, so don't think I'm putting a guilt trip on you. But when something good happens, when our prayers are answered, I think sometimes we forget to thank God. We forget to open our eyes to see how the goodness of God is working in our everyday lives. One of the practices that my band, I'm in a band, right? I've told you this before. Not a musical band, but a Wesleyan band where we meet every week and we confess our sins to one another. And one of the challenges that I've been given is to ask, how have you seen God at work today? And you know, sometimes I just sit there and stare at that screen and I'm like, I don't know. If I ask you right now, how have you seen God at work in the past 24 hours, would you be able to quickly name an example? I don't know. Maybe, right? But I don't think it's something that becomes a part of our regular habit, our regular routine, to say, God is working here and now, and here is how. And so Hannah's story gives us a glimpse of how we are called to do that. I know for many of us in days of celebration, if we get a new job, what do? We may go out and celebrate with drinks with our coworkers, right? Or if we are welcoming a new baby into our home, what do? We have a party, right? We have a shower. We fill out a shopping registry, right? We make our husband totally reconfigure our house and do an addition and build a new room. If we get a new house, right, we throw housewarming parties. We expect gifts and celebration and time together. But often, that is not prefaced by giving thanks to God. And so as we dive into Hannah's story this morning, I want us to think about that. As we look at Hannah, we're going to be looking at the second chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. And this chapter is a song that Hannah offers to God, singing her praise and celebration. And it's very similar to another song that we hear in Luke's gospel after Mary discovers that she is going to give birth to the Son of God, right? We call that Mary's Magnificat. And these are very similar in nature and how they're structured, but there's also some differences in them too. But what I find fascinating about their similarity is both of them are in troublesome places, right? They both don't know what's going to happen in the future. They both have a kind of a difficult past that they have to reconcile with. There is fear and worry and anxiety, and yet they still sing their praises to God. I think many of us have been in similar places, places of fear or worry. Maybe I'm wrong. No one? Some of us, yes. And yet, even then, in those moments, we are called to give our praise to God. What's different about Hannah's song and Mary's song is in Hannah's story, there's another woman that she's competing with. So as we open up the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 says, there was this certain guy, and he had two wives. The first was Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, and Hannah did not. All right, so we have this guy, he has two wives, one of them has kids, the other doesn't. And not only are they in this precarious position, the one woman, Peninnah, who has children, she likes to provoke Hannah. She likes to taunt her about the fact that she doesn't have any children. And even though her husband says, yes, I love you, Hannah, so very much, she's still subject to these stinging words of this other woman. Not only that, but in this time, in this place, women having children really did matter, right? In today's society, if you don't have kids, there's nothing really bad that can happen to you, right? You can still go out, you can still get a job, you can support yourself, you can work, you can invest, you can own a home. But in this time, women couldn't do any of those things, right? She solely relied on her husband to care for her, and women tended to be a whole lot younger than their husbands in these days. And so, most likely, the husband would have died first. And if she didn't have any sons to care for her, she would be outcast in society. She would have nothing. So her husband has another wife, right? She has children, but Hannah has none. And that's kind of where our text comes in today. So right before chapter 2, we hear that Hannah cries out inconsolably to God. She pours out her heart and she says, God, if you grant me a son, I will set that child apart. I will offer that child to you for a life of holy discipline. And you know what? God answered her prayer, right? She becomes pregnant. And she gives birth to a son named Samuel, right? And so let's hear Hannah's I have Mary on my brain. Let's hear Hannah's song this morning. This is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, I think is what I got, right? Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord. No one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne 7, and she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes the poor and makes rich. He brings low and he also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts up the needy from the ash heap and makes them sit with princes and inherits a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard their feet of the faithful ones, but the wicked ones shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might does one prevail. The Lord, his adversaries shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed." This is the word of God for the people of God. So Hannah comes to us initially in a place of sorrow. She's married but has no children. Her husband is also married to someone else and she has children, so she's being taunted. And so she cries out to God. And her husband's response to her is, "Hannah, why do you weep? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" Stupid husband, right? This doesn't get her lament. Now, if any of you have ever dealt with infertility or pregnancy loss, you understand Hannah's pain here, her worry, her loneliness. Because in so many ways in Hannah's mind, her ability or inability to have children defines who she is. Now, that's not true, right? We know that. But in her mind, her value comes from this ability that she does not possess. But God has a different plan for her. Now, many of us have children. We've raised healthy children. Or we're a guy who can't have children, right? And so I don't want to just focus on her infertility this morning. I think that's an important part of the story, but I think it's something we can take and set aside for this morning. One of the things that I want to focus on, though, is how she feels like she isn't living up to who she is called to be. And I think this is a story that can ring true for all of us. Many of us often wonder, "God, what are you telling me to do? God, where are you telling me to go? Who are you calling me to be?" Anyone else have these questions? Sometimes I still wonder, right? God, what's next? God, am I doing the right thing? And I struggle, and I lament, and I worry, and I can't figure it out. And God calls us to pray. God always answers our prayers, right? We may not like the answer, but God always does answer. We live in a barren world. A world sometimes that feels like it's hopeless, that's full of fear and loneliness and loss. And all God wants is to reconcile us back. All God wants to do is fill our lives with love and light and hope and joy. And God alone, has the power to do that. Hannah then turns to a place of joy because she sees the almighty works that God can do, and she sings this heavenly praise to God. What I find so fascinating about Hannah's song is that it both looks backward and it looks forward, right? She gives God thanks for what has done, but then she also looks forward toward the future. As we look at the book of Samuel, it's set up right in between a kind of a transition in Israel's history. We start off in the time of the judges, right? And if you remember several weeks ago when we looked at the book of Ruth, the time of the judges, at the end of that book, it says, and then the judges ruled, right? And people just did whatever they want. So the time of the judges was not a great time. And so then we're transitioning into this place of the kings of Israel, the monarchy, carrying through. And so we'll get to a place of Saul and King David if you keep on reading. But this is right there in the midst of that transition. And so the whole story is framed in this place of things are barren and broken and bad. But through the power of God, things turn around. Now, are they perfect? Does all of God's problem, or does all of the world's problems get solved right here? No, right? There's still lots of brokenness. There's still lots of brokenness today, right? But there are these moments of transition where we go from places of barrenness and brokenness to blessing and fullness and reconciliation. And in those moments, that is when God is at work. That's what we're called to recognize. When we see people going from place of hurt to places of joy, we too can celebrate in those moments. The last word of this song in the Hebrew, I can't say it, so I'm not going to try because I'm going to butcher it. But the final line says, and God will exalt the power of his anointed. And the word anointed here literally means his Messiah. Now, some Christian scholars look at that and say, okay, Messiah, who's our Messiah? Jesus, right? But in the Hebrew Bible, they weren't just pointing to things that happen in the New Testament. They were also pointing to things that would happen in this story, in this history. And so this Messiah, this chosen one, this anointed, was actually the promise of King David and his descendants that God would establish a throne for his kingdom forever and ever. God offers us promises. Not just of something far off in the future. Sometimes we like to just long for heaven, right? Long for the return of Christ. But God is offering us a promise here and now too. And as disciples, we are called to live lives of joy. Because God is always at work. And God is at work through you, his faithful and beloved disciples. Hannah is just a glimpse in the biblical narrative, right? She's just one piece of God's overarching great story. And we are too, right? We're just points on this timeline. But as disciples, the work of God is only done through us. And so today, we rejoice in all of the wonderful things God is doing. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks today for all that you do and for all that you do through us. God, allow us to be like Hannah in the midst of brokenness and worry. Fill us. Fill our hearts and our minds and our spirits. And allow us to rejoice. We pray this in your holy and blessed name. Amen.